Sanda, welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcast. Today, we dive into the remarkable journey of a man who transformed his struggles into success, sharing invaluable lessons on resilience, service, and the power of honesty. Let's begin.
He's also the founder of a publishing imprint, Black Privilege Publishing, in partnership with Simon & Schuster, which has released 12 books and already released bestsellers, including his latest, Get Honest or Die Lying. He's hosted several award-winning television programs, and he is also the founder of the Mental Wealth Alliance, which focuses on advocating for mental health. And to top it all off, he's also an ambassador for the food bank in New York City. But his life wasn't always this way. And you're about to hear the extraordinary story, the twists, the turns, the lessons learned, the regrets, and the mistakes that he's made. And look, you can always learn from your own mistakes. But today, you have the honor of getting to learn from his. So, Charlemagne, welcome to the Mel Robbins Podcast. I'm so thrilled that you're here.
Thank you for having me, Mel.
I am a huge fan of yours.
I appreciate that. And the feeling is definitely mutual.
Oh.
You know, I bought my Let 'Em Theory book in here, and it's so funny. Last week, my wife comes to me, and my wife goes, I ordered you a book. You need to read it immediately, because I've been complaining about some things, right? Really, I was complaining about people.
Yep.
And she was like, you need to read this book immediately. And it came, and it was the Let 'Em Theory. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing Mel's podcast on Wednesday. And she was like, really? And then today she sent me tickets, because you're going to be in New York at
yes.
Beacon Theater.
Yes.
She's
yes.
like, I want to go to this.
Yes.
So
well,
that's
you
just
are
all
my guest.
God. I was like, wow, I'm literally doing her show on Wednesday.
Well, we are destined to be together today.
Absolutely.
Together. And I'm going to come see you in April on your show. And so this is the beginning of a lot of amazing things that we're going to do. And here's how I'd like to start. Could you tell the person who is listening right now, that's spending time together with us, what they might expect to be different about their life or the life of somebody that they care about, based on everything that you're about to share with us today about your life, lessons learned, the incredible things that you sell in your best, you talk about in your best-selling books? Mm-hmm. What could change about their life?
We'll see. And the reason I say we'll see is because, you know, you never know where a great conversation is going to take you. You know, like, we're all on different spiritual journeys. I feel like right now, sitting here on the Mel Robbins Podcast, this is part of a spiritual journey that I feel like I've been going on my whole life. So let's see what comes up.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I am a huge fan of yours. I have devoured your books. I listen to you.
Thank you.
There is not a doubt in my mind that by the time our conversation is done and you so generously share mistakes made, lessons learned, the tools that you use in order to transform your mind, to build this extraordinary career, the things that you've learned as a parent about forgiveness, about regret, about peace, you cannot listen to this conversation I'm going to predict and not feel completely transformed. I would not have invited you to be here if
Thank
I did
you.
Not think that you were of service to a bigger mission, and that listening to you is one of the most worthy things that somebody could do with their time.
Ooh, so maybe that's what it is. I mean, you know, yeah, maybe that's what it is. I want people to hear this conversation today and immediately walk away and say, you know what? I need to go be of service. I need to answer that call that's going on in my spirit right now that's telling me to go out there and just go do something. Do something for myself, but more importantly, go do something for somebody else. Go be of service. That's what I want people to learn from this conversation, how to be of service.
Well, now it feels like we're in church, Charlemagne, and I could not be more thrilled to be here with you. But all of this wisdom that you're about to pour into us, it actually didn't come from all the success. It came from all the struggle. And even though you are one of the most influential voices in the world today, but the person who's listening may be meeting you for the first time. So what would you like them to know about you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now I'm a multimedia personality from, you know, radio to television, the books, the podcast, like you said, but I come from extreme humble beginnings. Mount's Corner, South Carolina, raised on a dirt road, grew up in a single wide trailer. You know, mom was a school teacher, an English teacher who kept the book in my face. My dad, you know, did construction, but, you know, he had his own issues with mental health and, you know, run-ins with the law and, you know, drug addiction and substance abuse. But, you know, the one thing that we always had was love And they always, especially my dad, I always say my dad raised me out of fear and not love. And
what does that mean?
He didn't want me to end up making the same mistakes that he made.
Hmm.
You know, he didn't want me to make the same choices that he made. And he would always tell me that if I didn't change my lifestyle, especially when I started, you know, really getting in trouble in the street, that I was going to end up in jail, dead, or broke sitting under a tree. So that was literally his mentality. He didn't want his oldest son to end up in jail, dead, or broke sitting under a tree. So he really used to be on me, but he would discipline me for things he didn't necessarily teach me.
Hmm. What does that mean?
I remember being in therapy. The first real breakthrough I had in therapy is realizing that. Like, I'll give you an example, right? Like, I remember one time I had just got my license. And so I'm following him. He was like, yo, follow me as I'm driving in the car. Just follow me. All right? So I'm following him. Mind you, I'm a 16-year-old kid. I'm following him. He's driving. So he's driving down Gilliard Road in Mons Corner, South Carolina. I'm following him. When you're driving down Gilliard Road, you veer off into a highway called Highway 52. So there's a stop sign. He doesn't stop at the stop sign. He just goes through on the highway. So what do you think I do? I just go through on the highway. So then he pulls over. So I pull over behind him. He gets out the car, rolled one down. He smacks the shit out of me, tells me to pay attention. I didn't see that stop sign. And I'm like, you didn't see the stop sign? I didn't say that to him.
Well,
I'm like, you didn't see the stop sign?
You're gonna get hit again.
But that's my point. He would discipline me for things that he never taught me.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, he raised me very hard. And I always said it was out of fear and not love. Just it was the fear that I would end up, you know, making a lot of the same mistakes that he made. We'll say one thing you do got to learn about your kids is that your kids are going to live their life regardless. No matter how much you try to hold on to them, no matter how, you know, much you try to discipline them, they're going to still live their life regardless. And guess what? You got to let them. You got to let them.
Well played.
That's right.
Well played. Talk to me about the name Charlemagne the God.
Yeah, when I was in night school, because I got kicked out of two high schools, so I was in night school.
So how old are we talking?
Probably the same age, like 17, maybe 17,
okay.
Maybe 18, I'm not sure. So I graduated from night school in 1998. I'm sitting in night school, and at the time, I used to call myself Charlie Chronic because, and you know, it sounds so stupid now when I'm old, but it's like, you know, but we used to have a crew called the Infamous Buddha Head. So all of us took names of marijuana. So you had like Mikey Marijuana, yeah. Ichabodism.
As we dive deeper into this conversation, let's explore how those early experiences shaped not just his journey, but also the powerful practices he uses today to find peace and gratitude amidst life's challenges.
That was the seventh radio station I worked at. I had a daughter that was 2-3 years old. I wasn't going back to Mons Corner, South Carolina. It was by any means necessary. Like, I didn't care what I had to say or who I had to say it to. And it was the same thing when I used to work with Wendy. I was literally just Wendy's attack dog. Wendy bought me there because Wendy knew she was going to make the transition to television. And she didn't want to be the same personality she used to be. Mm-hmm. So she had me there to literally be an attack dog. Like, literally, get her. Get him. Get him. Like literally. And so it's just like, nah, that's not what I wanted for myself.
You also write in Get Honest or Die Lying about any chance I get, I walk out into my backyard, I put my hands on a tree, I lean my head against it and start to meditate. That's tree hugging. It's a valuable practice. I was taught by my sacred purpose coach, Yadi. Here's how I first learned it. Can you tell us a little bit about like what are you doing when you're doing that? Like, I'm trying to imagine you walking out in your sweatsuit with your bare feet and you walk right up to that tree and you wrap your arms around that tree.
Man, salute to Yadi Alba. Yadi is a sacred purpose coach. Yadi, man, it's funny. Me and Yadi, it started with face down, ass up.
Face down, ass up. In the grass?
Yes. I know you're thinking about Two Live Crew, but that was the running joke. The running joke was like, yo, go outside, take your shoes off, do some grounding, lay in your backyard. I'm like, lay in my backyard? Like, lay down, put your belly on the ground, put your face to the ground, face down, ass up. I know it sounds crazy, but literally that's what I would go do. And you would be surprised the healing energy that comes
when you
do that.
Put me there. Peace. Do you feel energy come
up
like through the earth?
Yes, you can literally. You can literally feel it from the earth. I know when people like, oh, he's a tree hugger. Yeah, and you would be too if you could just take your shoes off, walk on the ground, put your forehead up against the tree, lean your back against the tree, lay down on your belly. If you want to just lay, if you want to lay on your back on the ground, just take a few deep breaths, look up at the sun, look up at the sky, just pray, just talk to God. And I guarantee you, if you allow yourself, no phone, no distractions, I guarantee you, you will feel some type of release.
Well, you know what's amazing about that is you're reminding us all of what we know to be true. Because if you think about any experience where you've gone on vacation you've actually had a chance to lay on a beach or to sit down on a trail or to lay down in a park while your kids are swinging and you just take a moment, you feel at peace.
Man, my favorite thing to do is to be in the water. I feel like the direct connection to God is in the water looking at the sun. So when I'm in the water, I'm looking up at the sun, even, you know, squinting, praying, talking to God, telling God what it is that I want, what I'm thankful for, a lot of gratitude. Sometimes it's not even, I don't even ask for nothing. I just go out there and just say, thank you, God, thank you. Gratitude is a lost art. You know, everybody has this sense of entitlement nowadays. Everybody feels like, you know, that the world is just supposed to open up and give you things. It's like, yo, I'm grateful for every opportunity. I even sitting here on Mel Robbins' show, I'm just like, man, thank you, God. This is a great opportunity. Like, I'm grateful for everything. And when you're in that water looking up at that sun, just expressing gratitude, the peace you feel.
If the person that's listening is just at a point in their life where they've got like the metal toilet moment and things just feel like it's just gone to hell, made so many mistakes, they don't have the grace yet, that you're talking about the fact that you need to extend to yourself. Do you have any suggestions or advice for how you begin that practice of gratitude when you feel like you're just screwed up?
Well, you should say thank you, because whatever you're going through, things could probably always be worse. And if you don't believe me, just turn the news on. Turn the news on. There's somebody going through something right now that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy, but that person is actually, you know, going through it. So for me, when I find myself in those metal toilet moments, you know, it's just like, I'm here. What am I supposed to learn from this moment? Thank you, God, for the experience of going through it. Like, I'm really big on that. I'm really big on thanking God when things are not necessarily going my way, because they're probably going my way. You understand what I'm saying?
I have this thing where I feel like you can stand in this moment and you can look backwards and time travel and go, okay, I may not like what I see. I may not have deserved that. It may have been very painful, but I can actually in this moment look backwards and see how everything led me uniquely here.
Absolutely.
I think it's an incredible skill. And what you're accessing when you are practicing gratitude in the way that you're recommending is you're actually teaching people how to stand in this moment. And in the gratitude of thank you, even though I don't know where this is leading, you're actually practicing faith, because you're saying, I'm grateful because I know it's leading me somewhere that I can't yet see. That is meant for me. And I won't get there without this.
That's right. And I'm 46 years old. I've lived enough life to know God has not led me in the wrong direction yet. So whatever moment I'm standing in, I'm supposed to be standing in that moment, and I need to deal with it. You know, I've been like, you know, that's when my wife bought me the Let Them Theory, is because, you know, one of the things that I've been just dealing with is just wondering about other people. Meaning, like,
what about other people?
I've had different experiences in my life where sometimes people resent me for what I'm actually doing for them. Meaning, like, you can be actually doing good things for a person, or have done really good things for a person, or, you know, provided opportunities for a person, and that person will grow to resent you. Like, I've literally had, I've had a friend say to me one time, "Oh, I don't want to do this deal with you, because if I do it, people are going to, you know, continue the narrative. I only get things because of you." And I'm like, that's strange. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because I would love to have a me. And I've had a lot of people in my life provide me opportunity. I've had a lot of people in my life get me on the right path, or, you know, allow me access to things that have gotten me opportunity. So why would you ever feel like, I don't care if I'm with one person that's provided me 10 different opportunities. Like, why would that be a thing? And I've had just friends in my life who, regardless of how much I've done, you know, for them, they act like nothing. I did nothing. And I'm not even that. I'm not the type of person to be like, remember, I did this for you. I did that for you. I just do things. I don't even care. Like, I just feel like that's what you're supposed to do
right.
when you're in a certain position. You share, you know, the wealth. You share the
yeah.
opportunity.
Yeah.
So to find out that that person is like, oh, he don't do nothing for me. And you're like, what? Now you gotta run down the list in your mind. Now I gotta go in my mind and be like, was I bugging when I did this? This and to me that feels cheap to have to do that. But sometimes you gotta do that to remind yourself it's not me.
As we reflect on the importance of gratitude and self-awareness, let's dive into how our intentions and goals can shape our conversations and connections with others.
You write in Get Honest or Die Lying. This is chapter 28, True Intentions. One of the best ways to avoid making small talk on any level is to focus on your IG. No, not your Instagram. The IG I'm discussing stands for intention and goals. Can you break that down for me? What is intention and goals?
Intention and goals. Like, you know what the intention of your conversation is, and you know what the goal you're trying to reach in the conversation is. So just get to it. Like, you know what it is. That's all. That's literally what the opposite of small talk is. The opposite of small talk is, I have an intention, I have a goal, I'm going to go up to this person, and I'm going to have the conversation. I remember being a young guy doing radio in Columbia, South Carolina. First time I ever met Wendy Williams. She's down there doing her nationally syndicated show from one of the stations in Columbia. I walk in the studio. I got mixtapes, and I got parody songs I want her to hear, and I'm like, yo, I got these mixtapes. I got this parody song I want to hear. I give it to the board. I'm like, yo, put this in. Wendy goes, yo, take that mixtape shit to my motherfucking husband. Literally, just like that, verbatim. Like, no small talk, no beating around the bush. I wasn't offended. I go, well, where's your husband? She was like, somewhere in here. So I went looking for her husband, and he was in the conference room. Guess what? He was just sitting in there. He had time to listen, right? But that was me not having no small talk. Right. Hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm a radio personality. I got these parody songs, these mixtapes I want you to have. She didn't have no time for small talk because she's trying to do her show, and that got me on the right path. That forged the relationship, you know. I mean, I don't have a relationship with her husband anymore, but we forged a relationship that ultimately led me to New York.
How on earth do you deal with the criticism that you get on social media?
I don't care. I really don't. I don't pay it no attention. That's something I stress to everybody around me. Stay off social media. We are all in verbally abusive relationships with our smartphones. Why? Why would you allow somebody to talk to you like that? You wouldn't allow somebody to talk to you like that in real life. So why do you go online seeking it? Why would you go look at comments in a YouTube channel or comments in a, you know, on Twitter? I ain't been on Twitter since 2019. Like, everybody running now because of Elon Musk. Forget Elon Musk. I ran because of my mental health. I need to protect my peace. I used to get on Twitter every morning and say, thank you, God, for blessing me with another day of life. Guaranteed, like clockwork, it would be somebody saying, I was praying you died. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would I put myself up to that? I don't need to go on Twitter to thank God. Like, you know, I thank God every day of my life. So for me, it's like, just don't read it. Like, literally, turn your phone off. Like, I remember my man Trick, he's a rapper out of Detroit. I remember one time I saw him say, man, as soon as I do this, and he turned his phone off and put it down, I don't even know what the hell y'all talking about. And listen,
it's so true.
Ignorance is bliss. You ask anybody that works with me. I've come into radio station sometime. Did you see such and such? Nope, I didn't. What happened? Like, I love being clueless because literally, why would I care about what another person's opinion of me is? And the other thing I tell the folks, if they're supposed to talk about you, if they're not talking about you, then you're probably not doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You're not making no impact whatsoever. So whether or not they're talking good about you or whether or not they're talking bad about you, they're talking and the algorithm doesn't know the difference.
Oh, God, you're a genius.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
That's just a little common sense. Because, you know, I write about it in the second book.
Yes.
about the tsunami of, you know, social media. Because what we don't realize is sometimes we spend so much energy on people we don't like. Mm. Right? So you're constantly talking about that person. Or that person said something, so everybody's coming at that person. But then that person's actual supporters, they start coming too. They start commenting. So now everybody's arguing in the comments about you. But the algorithm don't know. All they know is Mel's been mentioned 10,000 times in the last hour. So who cares? Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Talk to me about your morning routine, because you seem to have really locked in the things that you do in order to keep your mental health and your focus intact, to keep yourself in peace, to keep you connected to God and gratitude. Mm-hmm. How do you start your day? Will you walk me through it?
4:15, the alarm clock goes off. I immediately hit the snooze button. 8 minutes, the snooze button goes off again. So then I get up, say my prayers, go take a shower, get out the shower. I try to sit and meditate for at least 5 minutes, because you know I'm cutting it close. Like in the morning to do mm-hmm. morning radio, it's a game of inches. So I try to do at least 5 minutes. But I read out of 2 affirmation books every day. I read out of Ryan Holiday's The Daily Stoic, and I read out of Robert Greene's Daily Laws, I think it's called. And then I read what those affirmations are. I kiss my wife while she's asleep. I blow kisses to all my daughter's rooms. Then I get in my car, go downstairs, and I'm either listening to, you know, a podcast like yours or Jay Shetty or Debbie Brown, or I'm listening to, I love the Jon Stewart's The Weekly Show whenever he does his episodes, because I think that he just does some of the greatest political conversations right now. But that's usually what it is. I just try to, like, listen to something I know is going to get my energy where it needs to be. And my intention every day is the same. My intention every day is to serve. So I just wake up every day and I say, you know, God, I'm grateful for another day of life. I'm thankful for another day of life. And, you know, whatever the day brings today, because I know it's going to be a new adventure every single time. I know it's never a dull moment. I'm ready for it.
Oh, my God. How has having daughters changed you?
Man. In ways that I can't even imagine, because I'm nowhere near the type of disciplinarian my father was. Like, I'm not putting any type of hands on my daughters in any way, shape, or form. I apologize to them a lot. You know, my oldest daughter, she's 16. You know, I snapped at her about something. We going back and forth about something. I had to check myself and realize, like, oh, this don't got nothing to do with her. Mm. You know, it's something I'm projecting onto her. I'm projecting my fears onto her the same way I said my father raised me out of fear and not love. So when you apologize, I remember apologizing to my 16-year-old daughter, and she said to me, it's okay, you've never done this before. Meaning this is your first time as a father. This is your first time raising a 16-year-old girl, which is very true. Like, so I'm not going to always get it right. And you think about how, man, you long for, like, just apologies from your parents. Because I know a lot of the things that they might have done to us when we were younger, they didn't know any better. They were just doing the best they could with the knowledge and the information and the wisdom they had at the time. So it's the same thing now.
As we shift gears, let's explore how the choices we make not only shape our personal journeys, but also impact those around us, especially in the context of gratitude and service.
Like, when I tell you I'm just happy to be here, when I tell you I'm just a kid from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, who is just extremely grateful for the journey that God has me on, I'm 46 years old. I love being me. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my 4 daughters. I love the circle of people that I have around me that I call family. I just, that's it. Like, keep God first, stay humble. Keep working. That's my mindset.
Ooh, it is just radiating off you. Like, you can feel, like you were talking about laying on the ground and feeling the energy. Mm-hmm. You can feel the authenticity of that energetic alignment in your soul, man, when you say those words.
Thank you. That's it. Keep God first. Stay humble. Keep working. That's literally my mindset every day. I keep God first. You know, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. My grandmother was a Baptist. So all I ever knew was, you believe in something. There is a God. My father was a Jehovah's Witness till he got this fellowship, but then he got into Islam. But there was always God. So God is always there. That's number one. Stay humble. Yo, all of this can go away tomorrow. Like, literally, all of it can go away tomorrow. The same person you meet up is the same person you meet on the way down. So it's like, treat the CEO the same way you treat the custodian. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people, you know, hopefully when I'm not around, they say good things about me just because of how I carry myself when it comes, you know, to other humans. Mm-hmm. And stay working, because what else you going to do? And when I say stay working, it don't even just necessarily mean a job. Just stay working on yourself, because as long as you're alive, you're a work in progress, and God has more work for you to do.
Wow, we went to church today with Charlamagne. I'll tell you.
That's it.
Well, I hope you keep working because we're all benefiting from it.
Thank you for having me. You are a light. You are a blessing. You know, I don't know if you realize it, but you touch so many different people. Like, there's not a demographic of people I can point to and say, oh, that's the Mel Robbins listener. Because I have so many different people come to me and be like, yo, you know Mel Robbins? You know, my wife literally just gave me your book last week. You know, I talk to people like Jason Wilson. They speak so highly about you.
Love
like
Jason.
Jay Shay, like all, like you are a real light to people, man. So just please keep doing what you're doing because we need people like you in the world.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I can receive that.
And
thank
the
you.
Let them theory is life changing.
Yes.
Man, because I used to say let them drown.
Let them. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I got to get rid of the drown part. That's a little too
Yeah,
harsh.
Well, because then you're going down with them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
So not just like let them. Let
yeah.
Them. Like if everybody makes their own choices, let them.
Yeah. You know, I had a really interesting conversation with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s son, Martin, and his wife, Andrea, on their podcast, My Legacy. And as we were talking about it, he said, you know, Mel, this is my dad's teaching.
Mm.
Because choosing peace does not mean surrender.
That's
it's
right.
actually a sign of strength.
That's right.
And managing your response is power. And when you surrender your peace and your love to hatred, then you actually lose your power. It's a choice to let them show up with hate or let them show up however they're going to show up and then hold my power and let me choose how I respond. Because taking responsibility for your life is like, let's look at the word responsibility. It's the ability to respond.
Mm.
And you are a person who has responded to the twists and turns of your life. You started by talking about choice. You understand the extraordinary, enormous, transformative power of the choices that you make.
That's right.
The good ones, the bad ones, but the ultimate choice to then extend grace to yourself and to figure out the kind of person that you want to be and the kind of life that you want to live. And you've made a decision to be of service and to lead with love. And that choice has transformed your life. It's transforming your marriage, your daughters, all of the people that listen to you around the world. It's so powerful. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See all that gratitude?
I fucking love you, Charlamagne.
I love you more, Mel. Thank you.
Oh, and I love you too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for choosing to spend time together with us. Thank you for listening to something that will help you create a better life. And in case no one else tells you, I wanted to be sure to tell you that I love you and I believe in you and I believe in your ability to create a better life. And if you take Charlamagne's advice today, be of service. There is zero doubt that you will have a better life. Alrighty, I'll see you in a few days. And for you sitting here watching with me on YouTube, I just want to say, please share this with somebody. Don't just sit and watch. Please do something. And take a minute and subscribe to this channel because it's really a way that you can support me in bringing you new videos every single day. And I'm sure you're looking for something really inspiring to watch to really move you. So I want you to check out this video next.
That's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website 3VV.PodSummarizer.XUAIZ. Thanks for listening.